Dharmachari and Dharmacharinis. Those of you who have received and read the current Shabda will know that I was therein announced as going to speak this evening, either by way of giving a poetry reading or giving a talk. My original idea was to give a poetry reading, and in particular, my idea was that I should read a selection of my own poems on the topic of going forth. But on looking through my complete poems, I found that there were very few poems which could be described as having any connection, even a tenuous one, with the actual act or process of going forth. And I then thought, well, perhaps I can find somewhere in English literature, English poetry, poems on the subject of going forth from this or that situation. But there also I didn't really meet with any success. So I was left, perforce, with the other alternative, that is, of giving a talk. And I have to admit quite frankly that nowadays I'm not very much inclined to give talks. I don't mind giving the occasional paper, reading the occasional paper, but I do feel that in many ways my days for giving talks, for giving lectures, are over. And sometimes I say, usually over a meal at Madhvaloka, that I've reached my peak, if one can call it that, as a giver of lectures, was some 10 or 15 years ago. Though sometimes I think I was at my best some 25 to 30 years ago. And I therefore sometimes say that as a speaker, the FWBO has probably not often heard me at my best, if at all. My best probably belonged to a period, fortunately or unfortunately, before the FWBO was even started. I was in that respect well past my peak, probably. So I say this by way of introduction. Well, partly so that you should not be expecting too much this evening. I'm very well aware, and very pleased to be aware, that nowadays within the order we have some very, very good speakers indeed, both among Dharmacharis and Dharmacharinis. And some of them, some of you, most of you perhaps, will have heard quite recently. And sometimes I hope, sometimes I almost pray that as the years go by, the Dharmacharis and Dharmacharinis as speakers will be better than I ever was. I look forward to seeing that day. So much, so much by way of, as it were, preface. Because I have also pointed out from time to time that it's not enough for disciples to be as good as the teacher. The disciples, at least in certain respects, have to do better than the teacher, otherwise the movement does not grow. And if in every generation they do a little less well, then in the course of a few hundred years you've got quite a degree, one might say, of degeneration and decline. So I expect each and every order member to do better than me, better than I have ever done, in at least a few respects. And then we can be quite sure, quite confident about the future of our order. Now I say this partly by way of a sort of little reminder, but also so as to avoid having to begin my talk where my notes begin. Because not only in the course of the book launch, but in the course of the little introduction, well, my opening has been sort of lifted out of my hands. So so I want you to create a little space between the two. Because otherwise it would seem really quite odd if immediately after Subhadra had said something, I said exactly the same thing. But in the hope, well, not exactly in the hope, but in a manner of speaking, in the expectation that, well, you haven't exactly forgotten what he said, but at least it's not quite so vividly impressed upon your mind, I think I'm now more or less in the position to begin. And this is the real beginning, the official beginning, according to my notes. On the 18th of August 1947, I was in India. I was then staying in the little hill station of Kosauli, which is situated in East Punjab. I'd been staying there, I think, for 2 or 3 weeks. But anyway, that morning, I got up as usual. I think I must have meditated. We were meditating early every morning then. And instead of putting on my usual clothes, I put on a saffron-colored sarong and shirt. My friend and I had dyed our previously white sarongs and shirts the previous day. We dyed them with gerua mati, a sort of red earth, which is used for that purpose by sadhus and ascetics in India. Also, the previous 2 or 3 days, we'd given away all our possessions and destroyed such identification papers as we had. Had breakfast with a friend and then went forth. I took with me, when I went forth, only the robes I was actually wearing, a blanket, and a few books and notebooks. Among the books I remember, there was a Dhammapada, one that I'd had with me, in fact, for several years. So that was my going forth, 50 years ago. And as you've already been reminded, I was very young at the time. I was only 1 week short of my 22nd birthday, so that strictly speaking, I was just 21 when I went forth. And obviously, the step that I took that day, on that occasion, that morning, was a very important one indeed for me. In going forth in that way, I was following, as I thought, as I believed, in the footsteps of the Buddha. The Buddha too had gone forth from home into homelessness at an early age, though according to most traditions, not until he was 29. Though there are some grounds for thinking that it was actually when he was 19, but most accounts say 29, but at a relatively early age. He had left his family, his friends, his circle of acquaintances. He'd given up his civil identity If he wasn't actually a prince, he was the son of a leading citizen. He came from a patrician, high-caste family. He gave all that up. He went forth from that. He renounced all worldly ambitions. He wasn't thinking in terms of conquest, in terms of extending the territory of his tribe, or anything of that sort. He had no worldly ambitions. And I suppose I was trying to do likewise. Though I was only 21, nearly 22, I'd had some experience of worldly life. I'd recently, of course, had, two or three years of wandering life. Before that, I'd been in the army for 3 years. And before that, I'd been in local government for 2 years. And before that, I'd been in commerce for one year. And before that, I'd received what little schooling I ever did receive. So I'd had some experience of worldly life. But my experience of worldly life had not left me with any worldly ambition. So I was trying to do what the Buddha had done, to go forth from all of that. But that is not to say that at that time, and least of all perhaps on that day, that I realized the full significance of what it was that I was doing. I can't really claim that at that time I had a very deep understanding of what going forth really meant. Nonetheless, it did mark a turning point in my life, little as I did really understand its significance. And thereafter, my life could not be the same. So now, 50 years later, almost to the day, I want to share with you just a few reflections on going forth. I want to place my own youthful going forth within a broader context, and I want to try to have a deeper understanding of its significance. I also want to explore with you tonight some of its more important aspects.